The Freudian slip. What happens when two lovers meet again? The story poem, Freudian slip, describes the bonds the protagonist feels and the dilemma she goes through in understanding herself and her connect with the man she had fallen in love with many years ago. How does she succeed in finding her true emotions and herself? Read on, listen in to find out. This story poem is read to you by Vasanti Vasudev. The Freudian slip. That Monday morning started with a startle. On my desk at work was an invite for cocktails and dinner to meet Ajit Patwardhan, the new vice president of Hamsa Media Mix. I picked up the invite slowly and reeling, as in a trance. I sat with a thud on my swivel chair. My world spun and swirled, so sudden. Memories floating rushed in. On Friday evenings, nudging close, feet flying in the air, above the rocks we would perch on narrow stone walls that guarded the waves along the marine drive, grabbing chaat at chaupati after a quick run on Sunday mornings, traveling in crowded trains holding each other, calling it a night after a second show at Regal Cinema and munching roasted corn cobs on the way back. Flashes of images, slices of conversation, myriad moods, rosy reminiscences of feisty courtship 5 years back began to haunt once again. The next few days were like the last few days before going into labor, when you can't wait for it all to be over with. And then I met him at cocktails and dinner. He was totally taken aback, as though a cloud had burst on his head, full and full, totally unexpected. We both did not speak to each other, except for exchanges of courtesy. And then, 2 days later, the inevitable happened. He called and wanted to meet me in an old rendezvous point, a coffee shop we both loved. The Hamiltonian dilemma. To be there or not to be. What should I do? He had suddenly left me without much of an explanation to study abroad. That's what some birds say. Devastated, feeling jilted, I had dragged myself to move on eventually. Yet, cinders of smoldering anger continued to burn. I had cut all bonds with him, but it still ached. Yet the pull of the man, his magnetic charm, his wit and humor, they made me weak. I decided to be brave, to meet him in the eye, to face the real, the present. We chatted over steaming cups, stories of childhood, of work, about interests, about everything except one. Carefully dodging the question that towered in my mind. Neither did he, nor did I bring it up, although I was bursting to ask, is there a special one? He invited me to join him on the ferry to Elephanta Caves on Sunday, but I did not promise to go. The next few days were a torment. Something made me want to go, although I knew that it could be fraught with danger. I could succumb to his charm once more. I walked on the precipice, floating between illusion and reality, the past alluring but distant, the present as it was real. And the future? What did I want? Dare I investigate? I moralized to myself, but yielded to temptation. I threw all logic into the bin, cast aside caution, and put out my foot. tingling in excitement, crazy in attraction. It's just for a few hours. Great place for a day out. The Elephanta Caves, I convinced myself. I met him at Gateway of India, amidst 100 pigeons pecking at each other without a pause. We found a ferry and sat side by side. I tried not to sit close. I placed my tote bag in between. He looked at it, tried to lift it off. I pressed it down in protest and he let it be. Something had changed, yet the magic lingered. I looked at his silhouette and my heart leapt a beam. He was still so appealing. My pulse quickened. My heart throbbed. I wanted to sing along as he hummed an old favorite number. He hadn't forgotten. He tapped his fingers on my back, just as he would on my lap years ago. He seemed the same, frozen in time. I had to steel myself, fight myself, and sit still. At the caves, it was deja vu. We strolled around beaten paths, trespassed boundless memories, crisscrossed into each other's space in every step, in every bend. We read all the history, admired every sculpture. Right through, I did not say much. He was his zestful self, talking about his interesting days in Boston, his thesis, his network, and I, an ardent listener. We did not cross the Rubicon, never asked the big question. Over time, he became quiet, pensive and watchful. A little wistfully, he observed me, time and again. I wanted to tell him all about my life. I will wait until I fully know how I feel about him, I thought, and restrain my impulse and urge to burst open. The red-orange sun was playing hide-and-seek with the waves. It was aarti time, and a huge crowd had assembled before the three-faced Shiva. We stood at the head of the crowd, just in front of the colossal Shiva's magnificent face. I closed my eyes and joined the echoing chant, Om Namah Shivaya Om. The bells tolled in rhythm. The sound of cymbals lashed against the walls of the cave and clanged it in. I could feel his breath mingle with mine. I kept my eyes tightly shut and struggled to focus. And then, a few minutes later, I felt cool breeze from the sea hit my nostrils. I did not open my eyes to see if he was still there. I continued to chant, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Shivaya Namah Om. I lost track of time, feeling rejuvenated. When I opened my eyes, the sun was about to set. The bell and cymbals had grown quiet. I turned and looked, left and right, side to side for him. But he was not there. I looked behind and beyond in the crowd of tourists crawling all over the cave like giant ants. The shadows were growing longer. The cave was growing dark too. I still could not see him. I felt a little anxious, and before I knew it, I heard my shrill voice ask and echo, Sunil, where are you? Can you hear me? Sunil. The questions reverberated in the air, hitting the pillars, colliding with the mighty Lord. I bit my lip in shock. In that moment of reckoning, of truth, of epiphany, as I heard my subconscious speak, the Freudian slip was still ringing in my ears when he appeared from the shadows of the tall pillars. His face was fallen, dark like the bats, echolocating and screeching all over the cave. He came up to me and in a low tone, he whispered, Your Sunil is not here, only I am.